A welcome to all this morning. This morning we're going to look at a text in which Jesus gives very clear instructions about what we are to do as human beings. We are to believe in Jesus. He does this by talking about food, which is something that we all need, that we all like, and which we all pretty much want. And yet, Jesus is dealing with something much greater than food. He's dealing with spiritual matters and the ability to have eternal life. He's dealing with a people who would work as much as a full day and pay all those wages just to feed themselves for that day. We don't really understand this in our day because for the most part, there's plenty of food to eat. But in this place and in this time, we do not live in a place where there's a whole lot of hunger. But Jesus is not talking about hunger for the stomach. He is talking about eternal life, which is given to all mankind in Jesus. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes out of the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. And as you are able, I would ask that you would stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. When the people, therefore, saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, of which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. When he said, Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered them and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. And they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou that when we might see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. Please be seated. Now this text comes, as I said, from John chapter 6. And this is right after this feeding of the 5,000. And so that's really where Jesus comes up with. And it comes after Jesus has sent his disciples off, and then he walks across the water to get into the boat with them. And so we have two miracles here that have happened right before this. Now, the people don't know about him walking across water, but they certainly understood that when Jesus was there and he instructed his disciples and said, You feed them, that they got plenty to eat and there was not enough there to start with. And so this is kind of where they're coming from. You're talking about a people who had a hard time raising enough money each and every day, even to feed themselves, let alone to take care of all their other needs. They are a very poor population. And so now you get this crowd whom Jesus feeds in the middle of the desert, or in the middle of a place where there is no food, and they want more. It shows very much their human side. They want more of this. All right, I can be taken care of. I don't have to work so hard. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got up onto the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus doesn't say, "Well, I got here this morning." He does the typical Jesus thing and turns the conversation around upon them. And he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." And so we see here that Jesus knows their ulterior motives. "You didn't do this because you saw the miracles and you believed in me. You did this because it filled your stomach. It took care of one of your base needs. But you didn't come really to hear me or to believe on me. You came because it was good for you. There was benefit for you in an earthly sense." And so Jesus goes on from there to bring this conversation to a totally different place, where he says, "Do not labor for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." And so now he turns from food that will make you last through the day or the week to food that brings you unto eternal life. This is no longer about some bread and fish. This is now about the true Son of God and the plan that God has for human beings. And I'm not saying, I'm going to say something and it's going to sound a little different, but he's not worried about whether we have food for the day. And I'm not talking that he's not worried about us in our everyday needs, but that's not the important thing. What he's worried about is, do we understand who Jesus is? And so the people are there and they ask the question. The question everybody wants to know, and this is one of my favorite parts in the scripture where Jesus tells us exactly how it is. And they said, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" So now they want the hoops. They want the rules. It's just like mankind. Okay, what do we have to do that we make sure that we're doing this right? Give it to us right now. And Jesus gives them a very simple answer. One that we fall all over ourselves as Christians because we're scared of it. "This is the works of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." We like to make Christianity out to be something difficult and something hard. And oh yeah, it is. But the work of God is that you would believe in Jesus Christ, that you would have faith. The rest of that stuff will all take care of itself, because in having faith in Jesus Christ, in joining yourself to him, he now starts to lead you by the power of that Holy Spirit which indwells you. It is through faith that everything else is possible or can be done. And Jesus makes it very simple. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That's it. Right there, Jesus could have given them the big list of rules, the big hoops that they got to jump through. He could have went back and says, "Well, haven't you read the law? Haven't you read the Pentateuch? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Haven't you gone through that? That's it. He doesn't do that. Right then and there, he changes the whole thing. And so they, being good Jews, want to know exactly by what authority that he says these things. And so they come down and he says, "Then what signs do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Give us a miracle." The healings we've heard about, well, that's too bad. And, oh yeah, that food, well, you got that. That was yesterday. Now you've given us this new command. Well, show us a sign. And they go on, see, because we have a great sign. And so now they bring up the Old Testament and the Exodus. And they said, "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave bread from heaven to eat." And so right away, they go, "Now listen, Jesus, we have Moses. And of course he's much greater than you, because he's from another time and another place, and they wrote about him already. And so we have him, and he did all these miracles, and he did all these signs that got our people set free from the Egyptians. So we want your sign now. You demonstrate to us that what you're telling us is true." And you see, the hard part is for us is we're just like that. Because it's not good enough that people would believe. We want to see evidence. We want to somehow judge their actions and what they do. Well, they could be Christian, but I saw them over there. Well, they could be Christian, but they didn't show up here. And so we right away want to start dealing with all those things and judging people by our standards. We want to see those signs. And we forget who the giver is and what God has said about them. He said, then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Now here's where he goes. He comes down to this place and he says, "You know what? Moses was just a man. A man who was faithful, who ended up being faithful to his calling because God was faithful to him. And God gave him everything he needed in order for Moses to perform the tasks which God had set before him. But if you really read about Moses, and you actually understand, every time he went off under his own power, he messed it up. He first sees the Egyptians beating one of the Israelites, and on his own, by his own authority, he kills him and buries him. And the next day, he sees two Israelites fighting, and they won't receive him because he has done this sin. You see, in and of himself, Moses isn't very confident even. We like to think of Moses, for those of us who have seen it in the Charlton Heston movie, The Ten Commandments, as the big, strong guy. Moses, when he faces God the first time, and God says, "I'm going to send you to set my people free," says, "Well, I can't do that. I can't talk. I'm not able to do that. I don't have the strength." But you see, God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing then, and God knew what he was doing 2,000 years ago when he sent his son. When he sent us the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And this is Jesus Christ. This life comes to all men. It is given to all of mankind. Now, will it be fruitful for them or for everyone? No. Because if you reject the message, if you fail to do the work of God, it will not be efficacious for you. It will not be beneficial for you. But if you believe on Him whom He sent, if you believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lamb of God, our resurrected Savior, there's life. And not just life day to day. Not just food for our stomach. But food unto everlasting life. That we would go on from here. And of course, when people hear this, they said to Him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And then He goes on to say something that I'm sure some of them caught, but sometimes we miss. Then Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst." Right there where He says, "I am," is the same words that when Moses heard God, or was talking to God in the burning bush, and they said, "Who shall I say sent me?" He says, "I am." Jesus at this point is equating Himself with God. There was no doubt in any Jewish mind that this is the exact words, "I am." When Jesus says these words, He is equating Himself with God the Father. And for those of us who have done the works of God and have received the message of Jesus Christ, that's no big deal. But to people who are of Jewish faith and did not believe Jesus, that was blasphemy. And you see, there's always that separation. Do you believe that Jesus can do what He says He can do? Do you understand the simple doctrine of Jesus Christ, that He came as this only begotten Son of God, was crucified, sacrificed for our sake, and then was raised from the dead? These are the simple teachings of Christianity. They're the ones that the church have carried for years. We repeat them each week as we recite the Apostles' Creed, because that's what we say we believe. And yet, we get carried down all kinds of paths. The newest book comes out in the Christian bookstore, and we got to go get it, because that's really the way to Christ. Some new guy comes on the TV and starts proclaiming something, and that's the new way. Or some pastor in some big city raises up a huge church. Well, we got to follow what they're saying. See, this is the problem. This is the thing that comes down to that Paul talks about. "We therefore no more be children, tossed to and fro and carried about on every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit jointly together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increasing of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." You see, Jesus does not make Christianity all that difficult. He comes down when asked about it, "What is the works of God? That you would believe in Me." Now, does it end there? No, it starts there. The journey continues from there. But everything that comes out of believing in Jesus Christ changes you, and you go forth and you continue down the path that He's called you on. And that's by His power and His working. It's not by following the list. Jesus could have very easily said, go back to the Pentateuch and read the law. But that's not what He said. Because He knew that in knowing Him and by receiving Him in the gift of the Holy Spirit through time, you would be changed. What God has sent Jesus Christ to do is give us food unto eternal life. Not to fill our stomachs for the day, but rather to bring us to God in Him forever. What is the works of God? That you would believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sacrifice for our sin, and the one who was raised to give us new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Gracious, most loving, merciful Heavenly Father, help us to receive that bread of life. Help us to understand that it is in faith that we are changed. It is in faith that that sacrifice becomes meaningful to us. Help us to believe upon Your Son. And in so doing, Father, change our hearts and our minds, that we would indeed edify the body in love, that we would become one in unity and spirit in Him, that we would pull in one direction, that, Father, we would be His body here on earth. We thank You, Father, that You have not made this difficult, but You have conquered all things for us through Him, and that all You require of us is we do not reject the gift that You have placed in our lap. Father, thank You. And work in us by through the power of Your Word and Your Holy Spirit, that we would cling to Your Son each and every day of our lives. For Jesus' namesake, amen. Please raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.